Nazir, Perek Tes, Mishneh Gimel. The next two Mishnayos are not necessarily shaykh to Nazir specifically, but because we're being Isaac in the Yonim of Svekis of Tumah V'Tahara and Svekis of where a mess is buried, V'chulei, so the Mishnah is brought over here. It's actually a Mishnah also in Oholos. The basic Hanoch of the Mishnah in front of us is that if Mesim are buried, if there are dead bodies that are buried in a Mokum Kavua, that becomes Kilu, that Mokum becomes Konui Lohem, and the din is you're not allowed to move Mesim. You're not allowed to change Mesim from a Beis HaKvaris to move to a different, unless there's extenuating circumstances because of Kovod HaMesim. But Stamazoi, because you want to clear out that field or clear that site for excavation, etc. These are shells that come up very often when they find Mekoymos with Kvarim from Doris Kadmoinim in Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, the authorities are not coming from a world where Kovod HaMes and Kedushas Yisrael are particularly high up on their in their value system. So the Mishnah says, how do we know if a mess is munach b'mkoymoy, that's a mokum kavualoy, and that's a mokum what's called b'loshna mishnah shchunas kvarim, like a beis hakvaris, that the person was buried there properly and permanently. Permanently, there's no permanently. Tchis ha-mesim, but as a mokum kavua, as opposed to a body that was put in that place tzeitweilig, al das lefanoisoy, it was put there temporarily al das, to be able to move him to another place, in which case one can. So Mishnah says, Simonim Nikorim, Hamoitzi meiz batchilo mushkav kedarkoi. One finds a mess that's buried. Mushkav, he's lying down. Kedarkoi is what the Gemara calls, the way the minig is to bury Mesi Yisrael, with legs spread straight out. Raglov pshutois, v'yodov al liboy. That's the proper way to bury Mesi Yisrael. If the legs are folded, or his head, the body's head is folded over, or the hands are in a different position, not mushkav and not kedarkoi. So then, the assumption is that the dead body is that of a goy. So here we're talking about where the assumption is it was mushkav kedarkoi shel meisei Yisrael. So then the halacha is like this: the body decomposes, so you have to take out. If there's a halacha that one can move this body, one has to move the body with any of the disintegration of the decay that took place, any of the body that turned into the offer around is also kavod hames. So one has to take with the body the es tvusosoi. Tvusosoi refers to the offer that's soft around. And another three etzbois, which is a minimal amount of shear, of what's called in the Gemara karka psula, that means unplowed ground, because the decay of the body can go into that part also, and he has to take that with. That's what's called tvusasa. The plowed earth that was there in order to make way for the body to be buried, and another sholosh etzbois of karka psula. The Rav brings from the Gemara a fascinating Makar. The Pasuk says Yaakov Avinu gives orders to Yosef to not bury him in Mitzrayim, but to take him to Yitzhak. And the Pasuk says, Unasosani mi Mitzrayim ukvatani bekvurasam, should carry me from Mitzrayim and bury me in the kvarim of my forefathers, in the Maros Machpelah. Why does the Pasuk have said Unasosani mi Mitzrayim? From where do you think? What he meant to say is that Shema Toimar, that Pare is not going to let Yaakov's remains out of Mitzrayim, which was not the case. Yosef had to apply pressure because Pare knew that Zchusa Shel Yaakov Avinu will only be of benefit if he's buried in Mitzrayim, which was the case in Yosef. They didn't let his body out. Vayisa Ba'aroin b'Mitzrayim. And he had to be taken out hundreds of years later. He was sunk into the Nilus. He had to be taken out al yedei Hashem. So over there the Pasuk says that Kilu, Mefarshim explained the Gemara, that Yaakov was choshesh that they're going to bury him first, so they're going to have to take Unsosani mim Mitzrayim, they're going to have to carry him to Eretz Canaan with Mitzrayim, with some of the earth of Mitzrayim. From here we learn out the din of Ofer Tvuso, that has a din also of the mess, because since part of the body might have disintegrated, even though Yaakov Avinu was not Nechshash Lekach, but he had to say it to Yosef, so part of the Mitzrayim, so to speak, had to be carried to Eretz Canaan. Me ofer shel Mitzrayim toil imi, take with me. Motza shloisha, I'm sorry. Motza shnayim, if you found two kvarim, also two kvarim could be two people that were buried there temporarily. Neutlan vestu zosin, same idea. Motza shloisha, three people buried in one place, already tells us that there's a pattern that this makom is a makom kavua. Im yesh ben zelo zemi arba amisat shmoina, if there's distance between the three people, from 4 amas to 8 amas, harezer shchunas kvoros, that is the tzura of the way Yidden bury. Now, without going into all the cheshbonos are more in the sugyas, in Bava Basra, in the context of mekach u'memkar, that's discussed over there when a person sells a ma'ora, they used to bury in Eretz Yisrael, in times of the Mishnah, the Gemara, they would bury in ma'orois, the ground is rocky, they would bury in caves, and they had a way of digging into the side of the cave where the body would be in the wall of the cave, and there was a size, how they used to make it. A ma'oras kvura, which is called a ma'ora, and on the side there were these, the place where each kever was called a kuch. And over there is discussed how many, when a person sells a field, a ma'orah, for that purpose, how many kuchen have to be included. And the basic cheshbon is that there has to be, in the ma'orah, there has to be 6 amas by 4 amas. The length has to be 6 amas, the width has to be 4 amas. And on the sides of the ma'orah, these kuchen that stick out into the ground underneath, and that's where they would put the mason. The angle of the 4 by 6 is around 8. Make a cheshbon. That's if you do with the Pythagorean theorem, that's how long the angle of Be'erich is going to be. Really a little bit less than that. It's really a drop more than 7, because if you do 4 squared, which is 16, plus 6 squared, 36, which is always the way to figure out the angle of a triangle, so it's 16 plus 36 is 52. 52, the square root of 52, is a drop over 7. So it's a little bit more than 7, because I'll round it out to 8. So what they say is, Me'arba amas ad shmoina, hareze shchunas kvoros, because that would be the size of a mokim that would be considered a mokim miyuid for kvor. So then the halach is, you have to assume that if there are mason there might be other mason. Why? Because next to one ma'oras kvorim, they would make another shchunas kvoris. Now, like we said, the real size of the ma'ora, the mokum, the shchunas kvoris, is 4 by 6. But you have to be choshish also for the halachsim, because there could be any kvura taking place until that angle, which is 8. And you also have to be choshish that there's next to it another ma'ara. But on that, you don't have to be choshish for alaksa. This is all what the mafashim bring down. Memela, the shear next to it, like we said, 4 to 8. 8, you have to be choshish for the 8. Plus the space, they call it a chotzer. Kilo, there's an area between the two ma'arais. So that's 8 for the first ma'ara with its alaksa. 6 for the space between, and then another ma'ara. Now the other ma'ara also should be 8. It should be 8 plus 8 plus the 6 in between. It should be a grand total of 22. The answer is that normally they didn't bury Baal Aksoin. So that's a chshash rochoik. They weren't choshish chshash agabi chshash that in the second ma'ara as well there was on an angle. So mele it was only 8 plus 6 plus 6, which is really the size of the ma'ara, for a total of 20. Which just means you have to be choshish vaitu, because we have to be kvarim. There's a raglayim ledover. There's a stomius that there could very well be other kvarim there. If you would have found ilu mitchilu mitzoy, if you would have found a single kever, then you don't have to be choshish. Ein lanu alamashu b'fanenu. You don't have to be choshish. The rest of the field you can plow without having to search and dig it up. You'd only have to dig out that place. Mishnah Dalet. Kol Sofik Negoyim B'tchila. This is also Mishnayis. One part of it is in Negoyim. One part is in Zovim. And one part is in Sanhedrin. clearly there's a theme that's bringing these three halachas together. The theme over here is that there's a mokum where we're not choshish. Once there's a raglaim ledovos, so then we have to be extra makmir, we have to go to the other extreme. Which is really the halacha that we just learned in Mishnah Gimel. Kol sofik negoim batchilo. Anytime a person has a sofik, does he have a nega, does he not? He's looking at it, there's a white patch of skin on his hand, there's a white hair. It could be a discoloration, it could be anything. A nega. Torah does not even mokum l'stapik atchile niskak l'tumah. Until the Kohen paskins that there's a nega here. Mishen niskak l'tumah, niskak means when already there's a din, it's already chal on him, a shem tumah, the Kohen already paskin that he's tumah. And now there's a shaila whether he became tohor from his tumah. So then the halacha is sveikei tumah. This is really, in a nutshell, this is the halacha of chazaka. This that b'chol mokoim we go the halacha basel chazaka is the stomies of a status quo that's meikara. A cheskas tumah, cheskas tohor. So here also you have a cheskas tohor, you have a cheskas somebody who's has a nega. The truth of the matter is that the Gemara in Chulin, when the Gemara is trying to figure out a makor min ha-Torah for the din of chazakas, that we rely on a chazaka, the Gemara brings a makor from Negoyim. The Kohen would pronounce the psak of a nega if he saw something on the wall of the house. And the Torah says mefurish in Parshas Tazriah, in Parshas Mitzrayim, that he saw the nega, and he walked out of the house, and he pronounced the bayis, a bayis hamenuga, and it took whatever it took, 20 seconds for him to walk out of the house. How does he know there's still a nega? Clearly, there's an assumption that if something was that way, then we can assume that it still is that way. The Gemara brings different examples, but everybody knows that that's one of the makaris of chazaka is mi bayis hamenuga. That's what we're referring to whenever the post can bring it. It's that case. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayis also brings a separate concept of nega, which seemingly does need a makor. It's a pashtus svar, it has to be that way. And he says like this. He says a nozir is walking down the street. How do we know there isn't a dead body buried under where he walked? How do you know? How could you ever let a nozir cut his hair and bring karbonis? Maybe he was nitma. The teretz is, b'mokim shein siba lehistapik. So then don't be mistapik. That's a pashtus svara. You can never have an assumption that your house is chometz free or the street you walk down is mess, tumas mess free, etc. A million other examples, and every single one, it wouldn't be shaykh to function in a world of halacha if you wouldn't be samech on chazakas. So that the way the mefarshim understand is that level of chazaka with his just Mechitesi, that a person always has to have nerves and look over his shoulder every second. Maybe this is a sofik, that sofik. That chazaka is a svar. Then there's a chazaka where there is some type of mokum lehistapik. And afilu hochi, that there's a mokum lehistapik, but the person or the thing or the situation is muhsik in a certain status, and that issues a psak to be mavar, to be makriya the sofik. That type of zach is a psak, a birur of sveikus, that needs a makor. Same way, there could be a level of roiv, that also doesn't need a makor. But roiv, when there's a legitimate sofik avad, that does need a makor. In the Gemara, the same Gemara, chum, daf tes, daf yud, much is how do you know chazok, how do you know roiv? The Gemara brings a psukim. But that doesn't preclude there from being a concept, conceptually, there could be a level of roiv, which means just when you're looking at a situation, mechates is a little stopic. So Mela, that level doesn't need a pasuk. The Mishnah over here is saying something which has be'etzem Hashem sofik. There are cases over there in the Mishnah, Negoim, without getting into the details, the person had two Negoim, one was a gris and one was a selah, and one shrunk and one didn't, he's not sure which one, they didn't remember. There's a Hashem sofik. Before he's Tomei, he has a cheskes tahara. Once he's Tomei, he has a cheskes tumah, and then sveikei Tomei. V'shiva drachim boitkin is azov ad shalei niskak l'ziv, and there's halacha by azov. Azov, the halacha is that if he sees zoiv mibsaroi, so then the halacha is a certain type of emission that comes out of his body. It's not the same thing as Shechva Zera HaMetame. It's a different texture. It's a different Metzias. But it has other dinim. Shechva Zera is Metameloi. Metameloi is Yom. It has to be Tevel in a Mikvah. Zov can create, if it's a continuum of one, two, three flows, and then the two creates a din of Shemer Yom Keneged Yom. And the third is Mechayivim. He has to bring a Korban. All Sugi and Zov, which we're not going to get into. But one halacha that's negate to us is when a person saw zoiv machmas oinis, not machmas choili, so then the halacha is that it's not metame. What's the situation of oinis that a person could see? The Gemara says he could see from overeating, overworking, sleeping, different physical extenuating circumstances which would make this emission, but it's not coming from that Siba HaMetamas. So the Mishnah says over there, V'shiva Dvarotchum Boidkin Zazov, we're boiding him with seven questions about what he ate. Did he eat fatty meat? Did he eat eggs? Yayin Yosher? The Rav lists a few examples. B'Maichol, B'Mishta, B'Masa, what did he carry? Bekvitza, did he jump from one place to another? Bechayli, if he wasn't well. Bemare, if he saw something, which would be Ma'irer, that Re'ir, Behirer, if he thought about something. Akobanim, all these things are not mitame with the Choymer of Tumazov. But the being Boidik, and then assuming, Mestama was a Re'ir Kshera, that doesn't turn him into a Zov, with all the complicating features of Shiva, Yimei, Tahara, with the carbon, that din is only actually in this klaziva, because there we have a cheskas tahara in front of us. Masha'enke mishiniska klaziva, once he already was a zov, that means, like we said, there's one, two, three. The first ziva is only mechayiv him tefillin a mikvah, arvyoim that night by shkia, he's fine. The second time is more chamur. The second time is mechayiv shiva yimei tahara, what we call shiva nekiyim. The source of Shiva Nekiyim is by a Zov and a Zov, not by a Nida. The din that a Nida has, Shiva Nekiyim, is a din der Abonon to give a Chaymer to an Isha Nida like an Isha Zov. We're talking over here about an Ish Zov. By an Isha, there's no clear in Sibois of Aynis. It doesn't make a difference why she had a Riyaz Dam. But by his Riyah, if there was a Siba after one time, he's still not Becheska Zov, because one Riyah, it's just like a regular Riyah Shechva Zera. After he saw two Riyos, he's already in the state of Ziva, where he needs Sheva Yimei Nekiyim. So there, we're not going to ask the questions. Vaket, we see him in a status of Tumah. And Memelo, Mishinizka Klaziva, Ein Boit Kenoisei. He's Tomei. We'll assume that the third Riyah was also a Riyah that would be Mechayiv him now Korban, which is the Choymer of the third time over the second time. Second time only needs, at the end of Shiva Yimei Nekiyim, needs Tvila, not Tvila in a regular mikvah, Tvila b'mayim chayim. After the third time, he has to bring a korban. So the Mishinizka Luzim Ein Boit Kenoisei. Oinso Yusveke V'Shechva Zaroi. That means he had one of these Sibois that would cause Re'ir of Oinis. Or Sveke v'shichve zaroi, that he saw shichve zera, and maybe there was a hisofa of ziva with it. The halachas tmeim, shraglaim l'dover, the Re'ir shlishis, was not machmas oinis, because he's in the state of ziva. He's becheskas Re'ir ziva. Third case from Sanhedrin, amakas chaverim v'amdu l'miso, somebody gives somebody else, rachman al-tzan, a blow, that Vamdu Lamisa, they shot stop that it would be enough to kill him. He hit somebody over the head with a heavy weapon, but even where Bezin says, yeah, that's a Hakosh Yesh with the Alamas, the person was taken to the hospital. He's in a coma. Vehekum Masho, he came out of the coma, let's say. His situation improved somewhat. Lacha Mikan, he sunk back into the coma. Hichbid, the Choyli was Hichbid Alav, it got worse. Vameis Taloch is Chayv. The halachas is chayv, because the assumption is there's a makah sheyesh boy, hakor sheyesh boy kedei lahamis b'fonenu. You have to see that as such. Now, l'chayre, the understanding of why the Tanakhama holds his chayv, is because there's a makar kedei lomis, there's a becheskas that he's a retzach b'fonenu. But the words raglayim ledover that we had in the last two halachas are over here in the wording of Reb Nechemya. Reb Nechemya aimer potush raglayim ledover. The Gemara says that Reb Nechemya's p'tur is based on a pasuk. The pasuk says by a retzach v'ikosh esreeu v'nofal amishkov, the person who was assaulted was sick, he was in the hospital. Im yokum is halach b'chutz al meshanto, if he goes out and now he's hobbling around on crutches on his cane. V'niko ha-maka, so now we patter the maka from Chiyav Misa. Frekting Gemara, if the person wasn't killed, he recovered. Now he's walking around. He's slowly rehabilitating. It would be a half a minute to kill the Ritzach. He's not a Ritzach. Says the Gemara that we're talking about somebody who actually, the victim did die. But he was misalich b'chutz al mashante, he was somewhat better. And then Hichbir Alav Makoso, Hichbir Alav Kolyov, and he died from that situation. So Virim the Chemi holds that the Torah has to tell you an exogzezakazal, Venika Maka, that we don't kill him. That's a Vechemizgezakazal. It sounds like Stamakzezakazal. And if anything, it goes against the Raglaim Ladova. So one way of learning over here is to say, Enachanami Agav. That's the Tanakama, but the Raglaim Ladova, that's not really the time of Reb Nechemya. Tosefta points this out. The other pshat, which is in the Rambam Hilchos Ritzach, Perek Dalid, he brings Raglaim Ladova at the end of the Tanakama, which L'chor makes more sense the way we said. L'chor, the pshat in the Tanakama is Raglaim Ladova, and Reb Nechemya is telling you, Potter, it's Gzes HaKosov. Like the other pshat, you'll have to be Miyashiv, is that the Tanakama holds the Raglaim Ladover over here is the stomiest that there was a Mako Kedei Lahomis. The Chemius says that the situation of the Muka, of the Nirtzach, being that he improved somewhat, we see the Raglaim Ladover, the stomiest Bifonenu, that he's on the mend. He's improving. And then the Bifonenu is to assume, with Kolza Nechnas into Exezakosov, that Bifonenu we have to give the stomiest that Faket, he was getting better and he doesn't die. So the two ways of reading the Mishnah. We really finished the Masechta over here. The last Mishnah, Mishnah Hey, gives a perspective on Nazirus. We'll point out that the next Masechta is Masechta Soita, and the Mefarshim say that there's a very clear connection on a Musadika level between Masechta Nozer and Masechta Soita. It really doesn't need an explanation because Nozer being in Masechta in Seyde Noshim needs an explanation. We spoke about this at the beginning in the Dorm. Soita is the natural progression after Yevamos and Ksubis. Soita, Gittin, and Yedushin should go together. But Al-Gaponim, the Chazal tell us that the Parsha of Soita and Nozer are somach veniru to each other in Parshas Nozer. Haroya Soita b'kukula yazer atzmen ayayin. When a person sees something, when a person sees a tragedy, he has to realize that the Rebbein Shlalem gives messages to those that see things if they're perceptive enough. It's like Vayishma Yisroi. The whole world heard of Kriyas Yamsuf. The Velt says, Vayishma Yisrael, Yisrael had their hair. There was a message there for him. Vayovoy. Over here, when a person is in a situation where he sees the horrifying sight of a soita b'kulkula, and she's in the Beis HaMikdash, and she drank the mei soita, and she's dying a painful death because of the aveira that she did, so he has to see, oi! A lot of times a person is loose with their behavior. It comes from not having a hold on oneself. If you're there, the Torah is telling you a specific message. Here the Mishnah finishes off, not with Nazirus in the context of a person who wants to save himself from a situation of Avera, or he wants to be a Purush. We're talking about somebody who was born to be a Purush from the rest of society, and that places a Bazunder Din on him. Nozer ha-yashmul kedivrei Reb Nehoiroi. Shenemar, the Pasuk says that Chana, when she's mispelled, the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, she's mispelled for her son, B'derech Nes, she says, Umoiro lo yala aroisha, he's reading this, Umoiro means a meloshin tar, that is here, won't be shorn. L'chay, it's a loshin of Nazirus. It's like a Nazir Shimshin, what we commonly call a Nazir Shimshin, where a child could be dedicated, that for the rest of his life he's a Nazir. That was the case by Shmuel, then the halacha l'maisa will be, same way we had in the beginning of the Masechta, that Ha'imeh Eyeh Kishimshon is a Lashon of Nazir Shimshon. So Eye Kishmuel, Eye Keben Alkono, Eye Keben Chano will be the same thing. That's how he learns in Noirai Moira Layala Roisha. Nema Bishimshin Umoira, Venema Bishmuel Umoira. By Shimshin it says Umoira Layala Roisha, it's talking about, well, it's clear over there that the context is the Zeus, he can't drink wine. And by Shmuel also, Moira Layala Roisha, Ma Moira Amuru Shimshin Nozir, Af Moira Amuru Bishmuel means a tar, Shalai Galechas Roisha, because it's going to be a Nozir. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Vahaloi Ein Moira, Ela Shobosa Bedom. The word Moira doesn't commonly mean a tar. Moira Layala Roisha, Moira means fear. L'chor, what the Torah is saying is that fear of another human being will not enter his heart. He'll be separated for leadership of Klal Yisrael. He will not be nichna in any way. Shalom v'derech hateva, lo yala roish klal. He will not be nisyach, like Shmuel says, b'soiv yomov, is that he never ate from anybody, he was never nene from anybody, he gave musa, derchoka, and avu, and hadroch, and hashkofa to Klal Yisrael without any hisyachsus. The real truth of the matter is that the two pshatim conceptually are not that far away from each other. A nozer shimshin is somebody who is separated from birth, or you can do it later on, but he's separated completely from the world around him. That's expressed in the Naziris. Shimshin was an otherworldly figure. We call him Shimshin Akiba. The name wasn't made up by Chachmei Yisrael. He's Shimshin the Shoifet. Shimshin was born miraculously, and he lived a miraculous life. His physical strength was completely Shadoi B'derech HaTeva. He was Shoifet Klal Yisrael, coming from a supernatural place. And the battles that he fought on behalf of Klal Yisrael were completely also Shadoi B'derech HaTeva. His whole reality, both his reality in Torah and his reality in waging war, were completely otherworldly. It was a Himmel Dikah, he was a Ish Eloiki. Shmuel Hanavi also was brought into the world. He was given over right away. His mother says he's going to be given over to Beis Hashem, and that's where he's going to stay. He was brought into the world, Shalom B'derech HaTeva, in a otherworldly way, in a supernatural way, and that's what it had to be. So that's expressed in two things. He can be either a Nozir, which would mean that physically he carries the sign of his otherworldliness, of his being an Eloiki Dika Beria, or we could understand that he has no compunctions or no hisyaksus of achno whatsoever to a boss of a dog because he's a supernatural creature. He's an otherworldly being. Okay, the two pshatim are not that different from each other. However, this pshat of Rabbi Yossi that ain't moir ela shol boss of a dog, Rabbi Neirai argues, omale Rabbi Neirai, v'aloi kvarnem v'yem ishmol eich elich v'shom ha'shol v'harogani, shekvar hoi olov moir shol boss of a dog. When Shmuel is going to anoint David HaMelech, it's going to be seen as an act of rebellion against Shaul. So Shmuel says to Rebbe, how can I go? V'harogani, Rebbe Shem tells him what to do. So we see over there that there was a Moira of Basavadam. Now, we don't mean to cast aspersions on Shmuel HaNovi. The Mesil Sesharim says that his status is in place. A person has to function within the rules and the confines of Derech HaTeva. And one of the examples he brings is this case, which Shmuel says to Rebbe Shem, what do you mean? Rebbe Shem told you to go. But yes, but there's a Derech HaTeva of protecting oneself. What the Tana over here is bringing is just that you can't say that Shmuel totally didn't function within the rules of Teva, because the Pasuk says he did function. And that's the right thing for him to do. However, he's still a supernatural being in the sense that he's a Nozir Olam. That's the way he understands. So this is the end of Meseches Nozir. We had Zchus of finishing off Mesakta Shmer Mesakta. Shmizaychem Yitz Hashem Tlem Mesakta Saita. We'll just finish off with one thought. We're learning about a Nozir. You look at Parshas Nosoi, and there's a lot of, most of the Parsha deals with the Kedusha of the Levim, and the last Chelik of the Parsha is all the 75 last Psukim, is the long Perek that deals with the Chanukas HaMishkon. In the middle, there's a bunch of Parshas. There's Saita, there's Nozir, there's other Parshas, also Neget Halachas. You look at the Haftarah is about the Bsura given to the parents of Shimshon that he would have to be a Nozir. Vos epis that the Parsha of Nozir becomes the Iker of the Parsha, that's what the Haftarah is about. And it could very well be that the Pshat is what we just said, a Nozir is somebody who his whole being radiates a certain supernatural metzias. He's parush min habriyos. He's separated. Nezer lekov al roisha. He has an aura, a halo of kedusha around him, and that's all the halachas that we've learned over here are an expression of that. And it could very well be that the Torah is telling you, you want to know what a Levi is, or what Klal Yisrael is when they were separated from the Umas Olam, or what a Levi is when he's separated from all the Shvatim to stand Lamed L'Shoros L'fnei Hashem. The Parsha that describes what it looks like to be separated, to be Mufrash, or Muvdal from Derech HaTeva, is the Parsha of Nazirus. And that's why the Haftarah is about Nazirus. Could very well be, going back to what we pointed out, the difficulty of Maseches Nazir being in Seder Noshim, really has nothing to do with Seder Noshim. It could be that the Iker place where Kedushas Yisrael expresses itself is in the Kedusha of family life. In the business world outside, it could be that a Yid Avad is on a higher level. But the family life of a Yid, the Seder Noshim in the life of a Yid, is so muvdal, so separate and so different than from the Umas Olam, that ki'ilu, that the whole chaye mishpocha, the whole Seder Noshim of a Yid's life is one long nezirus that he has with the Rabban Shlom. And we might even say, al derech ha'agodah, that that's what caused the downfall of Shimshon, was when Delilah got out of him the secret and Sefer Shoftim, that if she would cut his hair, he would turn to Echad Adam. So Dava Pasha, why it has to be that way? Shimshon, whatever his cheshbonis are, and he had cheshbonis, deep cheshbonis of tikkun for Klal Yisrael, protecting Klal Yisrael, or why he married a woman that was compromised in Kedushat Yisrael. Avada, he was megayah her, but Lamaisa, the pasuk refers to her as a woman from a compromised background. When there's a chsorin in Kedushas chaye mishpocha, then by definition that's a stirut in nezirus. It could be that one Memela was the midah, connected midah of the other. As Hashem, we'll be starting the second cycle.